Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, there we go. Welcome to the show. This is Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. That's Mike from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Beginning of the show tonight, we're going to have Carl Gallops. Carl Gallops is going to join us for the first segment of the show. I'm just waiting for him to call in on the switchboard. I'm also going to reveal something tonight. I have an audio tape of, yes, Obama, Barack Obama, admitting, well, at least on tape when he was born, he seems to have an idea. And it's not what you and I think or what's on the White House website. I will play that audio. You will hear that audio come out about Obama and what he is saying. I'm just waiting for Mr. Gallup to come on the show here. I see I already have a caller, and let's see who this caller is. I'll take the caller right away, because once I start with Carl Gallops, we're going to move on and quickly move with the show. And I believe the caller here I have on hold is going to be asking Mr. Gallops a question later on. And let me just double check here. Hi, caller. Is that Ed?
Yes.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for calling in. I'm waiting for Mr. Gallops to come on the line. As soon as I do, I'll bring you online. You can ask him a question if you like it.
Well, I'll see. I'll listen to him. Mike, I'll listen to him first and see what he says. I may not even have a question. I don't know. But, if I do, I'll push one, huh?
That's great. That's great.
Yeah,
okay, Ed, I'm going to put you back on hold. Thank you very much.
I want to listen to him talk first.
Okay, I have another caller here. I don't recognize the number. It's not the number the call is supposed to call in on, but we're going to see here. Okay, caller, 0240, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Carl Gallops, and I'm on a Skype phone tonight.
Well, Carl, thank you very much. I would have given you a well-deserved introduction, but anyway, we have Carl Gallops on the line. I was just introducing you, Carl, telling people you're going to be on the program. And welcome to the program, Carl.
Well, it's my honor to be with you, Michael, and I don't need a grand introduction. God bless you for that, though.
Well, thank you, Carl. Carl, before I get into the update with the sheriff's kids, I'm going to move quite rapidly because I know you only have a limited amount of time tonight. Carl, about 2 weeks ago, I got my phone started ringing. I started getting text messages and alerts and emails that apparently a 108-year-old rabbi hacked into my website and was on my homepage. Well, I had to calm everybody down, Carl, and I told them simply that if a 108-year-old rabbi was able to hack onto my webpage, I guess he must know something, Carl, right?
Yeah, he must.
Anyway, Carl, do you want to explain why there is a rabbi on my website?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much, Michael. Yes, I was blessed last year to write a book published by WND Books entitled The Magic Man in the Sky. The Lord blessed that book. It went to a number one bestseller. My publishers asked me some months back to write another book on a particular topic. They said that if they liked the book, they liked the manuscript, that they would produce a movie. And so WND Books published my newest book and has made a movie about it, a documentary movie. The title of the book is The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, and it is the story of Yitzhak Kaduri and his prophecies of the end time. It's a true story. It's absolutely amazing. The story is shocking. It is a true story, and it's still unfolding. Millions of people around the world are familiar with the story, but I've written the book on it. It is going to be released November the 5th, but it is in pre-order status now on Amazon. The movie will be released very shortly with the book or just a few days after the book. Rabbi, Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, the number one New York Times bestseller of The Harbinger, he is in the movie with me and also is in my book, along with Joel Richardson, a number one New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Tim LaHaye, another number one New York Times bestselling author, Dr. David Reagan, IQ Al-Rasuli, Dr. Chuck Missler. All of these guys are in the book. I've interviewed them, and they're included in on this story. And it's an amazing, true, shocking story, prophetic, and it's still unfolding before our eyes. And the title of it is The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. And your listeners can pre-order it tonight on Amazon. And two good things happen when you pre-order. Number one, you usually get the book in your hands early. They usually ship it out days earlier than the actual release date. And the other thing is, whatever it's selling for right now, you will get it at the very lowest price whenever it ships. So you can't lose. I mean, you know, you might say, well, I'll just wait till the price comes down. Well, they're going to give you the very lowest price the day that it ships to you. So it's a good deal to pre-order, and a whole bunch of people are doing it. But that's the name. It's The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhak Kaduri. They can go on Amazon and find it, or carlgallops.com. Or they can just put my name in Amazon, Books by Carl Gallops, and both of my books will come up, The Magic Man in the Sky, which is still going crazy all over the world, and The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. And as I said, there's a full-length documentary movie with the book.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's also The Rabbi That Found Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com. If you didn't get where to get the book, audience, just go to my website, click on the picture on the rabbi on the upper right-hand side. Carl, I'm going to release an audio tonight. We're going to move quickly, Carl. I'm going to release an audio tonight that I've been taking a poll, and most of the people are not aware of this, Carl. And it happened when Obama was campaigning back in 2008. I happen to remember it. And it's just passed. It's just been sitting on the side. And with the anniversary of Martin Luther King and his famous speech, I thought about it, and I did some more research. Carl, I'm going to play a little bit of an audio. It's a little, it's about 2 minutes long. If you bear with me, Carl, we're going to listen to it together with the audience, okay?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
That sent a shout across oceans so that my grandfather began to imagine something different for his son. And his son, who grew up herding goats in a small village in Africa, could suddenly sets his sights a little higher and suddenly believe that maybe a black man in this world had a chance. And what happened in Selma, Alabama and Birmingham also stirred the conscience of the nation. And it worried folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win the hearts and minds all across the world if right here in our own country, John, we're not observing the ideals that are set forth in our Constitution? We might be accused of being hypocrites. So the Kennedys decided we're going to do an airlift. We're going to go out to Africa, and we're going to start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study so that they can learn what a wonderful country America is. And this young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves, but she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on, because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that in the world as it has been, it might not be possible for us to get together and have a child. But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge. And so they got together, and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on something.
Okay, Carl, I stopped it there. What did you think of that?
Well, how many lies did we catch him in right there? And isn't it amazing? One of the lies goes straight to his birth narrative. The march on Selma, Alabama, or from Selma to Montgomery, I think it was 1965, wasn't it?
correct, Carl. It started on March 25th. It took five days, 56 miles, and that was 1965.
Right, and he was supposed to have been born in 1961, so he's certainly, it sounds to me like he told a big fat whopper.
Oh, you mean that birth certificate that's on the White House website that the Obots say is the correct one?
I suppose so. Oh, goodness. There's just so much to this story. My head is full of details of information from the investigation, and I have to be so careful what I say and what I don't say. So much of it I'm still not allowed to reveal. But I was on the phone with Mike Zullo today. He's still uncovering astounding information, and this thing marches forward. It's amazing. When it is finally brought forward, hopefully in a congressional investigation, I think the world is going to be stunned at what they see.
You know, Carl, I played that audio. It's very clear. I'm going to play it again. It's actually a YouTube video. You could see Obama. I want everybody to be clear. We just heard Barack Obama state that because of the march on Selma, Alabama, March 25th, 1965, where he claims his parents met on a bridge, is the result of him being here today, of his birth, March 25th, 1965. You know, I guess this is just going to be another, publisher's error, editor's error, a misspeech. Everything is a mistake, an error about Obama. We're not buying it. I'm sorry. It's over. If you haven't heard this audio, I will have the link on my website tonight. You can hear it again. So,
right.
You were speaking about Mike Zullo, and you spoke to him about further information. Carl, I happen to know about an encounter that you had last week, because I happened to have spoken to Mike the same day, about an Obot, apparently a desperate Obot, having a conversation with Mike Zullo. Would you elaborate, please?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I will elaborate on that. I'm not going to use his name, the Obot's name. There's no reason why I couldn't. I just don't want to give him any free publicity. I don't think he's worthy of it. He's pretty irrelevant in so many ways, but he desperately wants to be relevant, and it's quite comical watching him dance around, in my humble opinion. But I was on the phone with Mike Zullo, and Mike and I talk almost every day, sometimes several times a day. And sometime back, I guess, Michael, I guess it was a week or so ago, I don't remember, but not too long ago, I was on the phone with Mike Zullo. And in the middle of the conversation, his phone was beeping in. Somebody was trying to call him, and he looked at it, and he came on the phone. He said, "Carl," he said, "this is so-and-so," and he gave the name. He said, that Obot, so-and-so. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "He's calling me." He said, "I don't know what this is about." He said, "Stay on the phone. I want you to witness this conversation." I said, "Okay." I said, "Do you want me to say anything? Do you want me to, you know?" He said, Nope, just be my witness." I said, "Okay, I will." So the long and short of it, Michael, and you can ask me questions, but I'll just get cut to the chase. The long and short of it was Obot comes on the phone, and he has Mike Zullo's phone number because he had asked a couple of years ago, I think, for Zullo to come on a radio show and debate him. And Mike Zullo wouldn't do it because, again, the guy's just irrelevant and a little fish in a great big pond. And Mike wouldn't do it. But that's how the guy had Zullo's phone number. So the guy comes on the phone, and just cutting to the chase, he launches into Mike Zullo with all these ad hominem attacks of you know, "You're ignorant, you're a liar, you're not a real investigator." I mean, just launched into him, and then starts demanding answers from Mike Zullo. He said, I want to know, is Carl Gallup's an official spokesperson for you? Is Carl Gallup's a spokesperson?" Now, the reason he was asking that question, Michael, is because just a few days earlier, Mike Zullo and I had done an interview, and in fact, I think I posted it on P.P. Simmons Radio. Perhaps it was on Freedom Friday. I don't remember. I interview so many people. But it had to do with the fact that the Zullo Cold Case Posse Arpaio investigation has turned a corner now. Now a whole new little branch of investigation has opened up, and several Obots have become deep persons of interest. And it amazingly, ironically, it's all over this Xerox machine debacle that they kept insisting was their golden bullet. But as the investigation unfolded on that allegation, some new information came to light and some correlations and connections were made once they began to investigate at a deep level, and that's all I can say as to how they're doing it, but at a very deep level, they were astounded at some of the connections that they have made with some of these OBOTs to, and I'm just going to be very careful here, to some very important people and institutions across this land. So when that was discovered, that opened up the investigation even deeper. And so Mike Zullo and I were generally speaking about that, as I said, on P.P. Simmons Radio or Freedom Friday, I don't remember. And I apparently that and plus I've done some interviews across the nation in various talk radio markets about it. So apparently that OBOT heard one of those interviews and called up Mike Zullo and said, is Carl Gallups an official spokesperson for you? And then he literally said to Mike Zullo, I heard him ask, I want to know, am I a suspect? Am I a person of interest? And, of course, Mike Zullo's answer to the guy was, look, I don't even know if I'm really talking to you. I don't know who this is. I'm not going to give you any information. I'm not answering any questions. I'm not doing an interview with you over the phone. And eventually Mike had to hang up on him because the guy just got out irate and was using vulgarity. And it was quite amazing. It was a little surreal, Michael. I don't mind telling you.
Well, Carl, thank you for the update there. I appreciate the update there, Carl. I was aware of most of what you just said, and it's just I don't know why he would be calling Zulu. Are we getting close? Are we getting hot? I can tell you this, Carl, the sheriff's kit, every day I mail a kit out, two kits, three kits. Every day the kits are downloaded. I wanted to say this at the beginning of the show. Carl, it's not over because Congress is back in Washington, because we have a crisis right now with a president that doesn't know what day it is to do over there in Syria. It's not over. Actually, Carl, it's going strong. I think people who are thinking or thought about it and missed the opportunity to meet with their congressman, the kids call every day. I just got one ready. I mailed out three yesterday. I have two more to go out. I have a couple more to help people download. They're going out every single day, and it's not over, Carl. And probably the OBOTs are feeling the pressure, I guess, as we get closer and closer to this, and they're probably afraid we're going to expose them.
Yeah, well, Michael, no, I think you've hit the nail on the head. First of all, thank you for the amazing work you're doing through your blog radio program, your website, and the Sheriff Kits, and your interaction and engagement, your personal engagement in this is amazing. God bless you for that. But yes, it's surreal to me. Why would this guy call Mike Zullo out of the clear blue like that? I mean, I can only think of a few logical reasons. I mean, I could be wrong. These are just my opinions. Number one, the guy might have a screw loose or two. And again, this is just my opinion. I'm not trying to be derogatory. I don't know the man. But, I mean, what would possess an innocent person to call the lead investigator in a case concerning criminal activities in the White House and demand to know if you are a suspect? I mean, that's just surreal, unless you've got a screw loose. Or Michael, unless you're somehow connected to this thing, perhaps he knows who does it, who fabricated the birth certificate, and he's connected to the person. Or perhaps he's the person that fabricated the birth certificate. I mean, there are only two or three or four logical scenarios as to why you would just call up the lead investigator of a criminal case of this nature, cuss the man out, call him a liar and a fraud, and then demand to know if you're a suspect. It just blows my mind. But I suspect, Michael, that you're right. We have a southern phrase down here, a little southern slang down here along the Gulf Coast. When you throw a rock amongst a bunch of dogs, the one that you hit is the one that squeals. And so I think that's probably what has happened.
I heard that last week when you said that, Carl. Yeah, that's true. Carl, I want to take two quick phone calls here, Carl. My call screener, Mona. Thank you, Mona, for being in the call screening room tonight. I appreciate it. Mona sent me a correction. It was 2007 that Obama made that speech. Carl, I have one call. I'm going to put him on very quickly. He's a loyal listener. He works with me. His name is Ed. He's from Norfolk, Virginia, and he wants to know. I'm going to put him on the air in a second. He's going to ask you a question about Congressman Stockman. Okay, yes. Ed, you're on the air with Carl Gallops.
Oh, hello, Carl.
Hello, Ed. God bless you. Thank you for being on today.
Yeah, I don't know what Mike, he said the question was about Congressman Stockman. Not really. The question is, Carl, a lot of us don't feel like that Zulu and Team Apayo, I mean, that they're like moving with this thing, but they're not stepping up with this thing and taking action because, you know, we remember way back, what was it, February or March when you and Mike Zulu went to CPAC?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Uh-huh. March or April, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, back about that time, you know, we heard from you and some from Zulu, too, that, you know, so many VIPs were coming on board, and these were wealthy VIPs, and they could move this thing into a state or federal court, and they had the power to get this into the media and make this thing move. And it's been like around 6 months or so, and we've seen absolutely nothing, Carl. Absolutely,
yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, well, listen,
thanks for the question,
you.
Ed.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. May I address that, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ed, first of all, thank you so much for asking that question, and because it is a matter of, first of all, I want to get all the facts straight here and then give your listeners, Michael, the perspective. Please remember, folks, that the initial investigation, when it was completed and brought by Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zulu to the public, and a national press conference was called by Sheriff Arpaio because he had done this massive investigation on the birth certificate, and Sheriff Arpaio at that press conference announced to the world 2 years ago, over 2 years ago now, I think, that he had set out to vindicate Obama, to prove that Obama's birth certificate was indeed valid. And after this investigation, it turns out that Arpaio couldn't say that. And so he brought forth the evidence that the birth certificate was an absolute fraud. Well, remember what happened. The news media shut it down and refused to report it because Arpaio didn't give them what they thought they were going to get. They thought they were going to get this Arizona sheriff that was going to come on board and vindicate Obama, and the news media was going to stick their finger in the eye of every so-called birther across the land. I remember that happened years ago. Well, remember, Arpaio was just dumbstruck. He was overwhelmed. I mean, here's a 50-year lawman, 30-something years at the federal level, doing his job. He uncovers one of the biggest frauds in American history, perhaps human history, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to report it. Nobody wants to deal with it. So immediately Arpaio starts, you know, trying to get a hold of congressmen and federal courts and all of his connections to deal with this, and nobody will touch it. So it went on hold for about a year and a half. I mean, they kept investigating. They kept digging. They kept finding more and more stuff. They were overwhelmed how deep and dark and dirty this thing went, but nobody would touch it. And then remember, Ed, you said way back in March. Well, it's just been a handful of months ago when, remember, prior to that, nothing was happening. Nothing was moving. Nobody would talk to anybody about it. But just a handful of months ago, Mike Zulu and I decided we'd make one last-ditch effort and try to bring some people on board, Ed. And so we did, and I believe God opened some doors and led us into the offices of people who finally listened to us. Congressman Steve Stockman was one of them who sat down with us for hours. There were others. And so the bottom line is, Ed, here's where we are now. The investigation's still going forward. We have persons of interest now. Mike Zulu is on top of this every day. They've dealt with the whole Xerox machine debacle, and boy, we've got some surprising information there when that comes forward. In the meantime, of course, Congress has been in and out dealing with Benghazi and dealing with Syria, and then, of course, they were on recess, and we had to wait for that, and you know, other businesses going on. And in the meantime, Steve Stockman has been apparently recruiting other congressmen, because we had Ted Yoho that came out and said that he had been recruited and was coming on board, a couple of other congressmen. In the meantime, Michael Volin has been involved in sheriff's kits and seeing congressmen. Mike Zullo has been meeting with VIPs, Ed. He has not fibbed to you, nor have I. He's been meeting with people who are power brokers and folks that have money and can make some things happen. But the bottom line is, this kind of thing, I mean, we're talking about the presidency of the United States. We're talking about the White House. We're talking about Supreme Court that won't look at it. We're talking about a Congress that heretofore has not even looked at this. We're talking about a media that has shut it down. We're talking about maybe the crime of the century. And in the last handful of months, Ed, we have made huge strides. This thing is moving forward. And I can promise you that Mike Zullo, Sheriff Arpaio, are going to move it forward as far as they can take it. Their goal is to get it to a congressional investigation. If that happens, it will blow this thing wide open. If it doesn't happen, let's say Stockman backs out or some other congressman back out. Let's say everybody just gets cold feet and doesn't deal with it. Then we have a plan B, and I don't want to give it all away right now, but Zullo and Arpaio have talked about it at length. Mike and I have talked about it. Other people who are involved in this, we have a plan B to get every piece of evidence that they have, and it's amazing what they have that they haven't even released, not counting the affidavit that's been released with 200 points of evidence, but they will release every bit of it in a multifaceted releasing fashion, and they will release it to the world so that it will then come before the scrutiny of the world. And I'm sure that once some eyes see it that have not seen it, I'm sure the outrage will be just tremendous. So the bottom line, Ed, just hang in there, be patient, be prayerful. Zullo's not lying to you. This thing is moving along. It's getting deeper and deeper and darker, and people are making promises to us that they're going to move it to a congressional investigation, and all we can do is wait for them to keep their promise. If they keep it, you will see the results of it. If they don't keep it, then Mike Zullo has a plan B.
Well, thank you, Carl. And Ed, as you already know, like Carl said, it seemed like the investigation slowed down. It never actually came to a halt. And
no.
I was in touch with Mike before I released the sheriff's kit, and I actually got in touch with Mike, and I came up with the idea. I said, Mike, I want to do the sheriff's kit thing. And he smiled, and he said, I like it. And I actually asked him if it was okay, because I didn't want to step in the investigation or block any kind of information. And I'm not taking credit for anything. I'm giving credit to everybody that got a sheriff's kit, that went to their congressman, that did the right thing. It's moving, and that's why the OBOTs are scared. They are scared that we're going to step on the wrong foot, that we're going to get to the wrong congressman. I appreciate everything. I'm Carl. You've done a great job with Mike in getting the information out there. It's moving. I want to encourage everybody, stay with the sheriff's kit. Carl, I have one more call I'd like you to speak to.
Okay.
His name is Ed Sutherland. He's on my website. I put his picture on tonight. He actually went to meet his congressman. He contacted me. He got a sheriff's kit. And actually, Carl, I arranged a telephone conference call between him, Congressman Michael Burgess of Texas, and Mike Zullo, who gave information to the congressman. And with that call, I am going to bring Ed Sutherland on the line. And if my switchboard would be cooperative, let's try this again. Ed, you're on the line with Carl Gallup.
Oh, good evening, Carl. Good to talk to you.
Good evening, Ed. It's my honor to talk to you.
Well, I'll tell you what, I thoroughly appreciate the work that you guys are doing, and I personally know how hard it is, because I had a fight with the Texas Attorney General, Secretary of State down here, and decided to go with the sheriff's kit, and I know how hard it is to get meetings with congressmen and, you know, get in front of them and talk to them and try to put your point across and actually get some action.
Right.
And that's the hardest part, is getting action, getting them to get out their can and do something, you know. But and I appreciate the help that Mike Volin did in hooking me up with Mike Zullo so that he could talk to my congressman. And he did have a question specifically, and it was about the archives that Mike graciously handled for him, and I thoroughly appreciate it. I can't tell you how much I thank you guys for what you're doing. It's an incredible adventure, and I can't thank you enough. But my question was originally, I think I'm the Ed that Mike was thinking about first. I was curious as if you guys have managed to set up another appointment with Stockman for an interview.
Yeah.
Have you managed to do that yet?
Well, the answer to that is not yet, but it's in the works. And what's interesting about that, Ed, is that we had him lined up. He was coming on the show.
Right.
And then his plane trip.
Yeah,
I remember all that.
Yeah,
and the deal is that he was in the airport calling, trying to get back in on the show because his plane got canceled. But by then, Mike Zullo was already on, and we had callers on the line, and he couldn't get on. So Congressman Stockman is not trying to avoid us. I mean, he literally tried hard to get back in on the show that day.
Right.
But we have just not been able to reschedule it since then because it's hard for him on Fridays to get on the show because that's usually when he's flying in and out of Washington. But they've assured us that they're going to do their very best. He does want to come on the show and share some things with us. So we're working on it.
Well, Carl, what else can we do to help out as listeners and as citizens? You know, we're trying with the sheriff's kits. I make phone calls every single day to my congressman and senator every day. It's going to be every day now I'm going to be on the phone. But usually at least once a week I call Cornyn, I call Cruz, I call Michael Burgess, and I'm pushing as hard as I can, but what else can we do beyond that?
Okay, well, thank you. Well, first of all, I come from a biblical worldview. I'm a Christian, and I'm not pressing my faith on you or anyone else, but I would encourage people of faith to cover this thing in prayer. I believe that God works mightily through prayer, so cover it in prayer, number one. Number two, stay engaged, be patient, don't give up. Number three, make phone calls, like you said, and write letters. Don't just send emails, but write letters. Type and write letters. Send them through snail mail. The congressmen have to deal with that. And, you know, it's so easy to delete an email. Just go down, click, 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 delete, delete,
sure.
Delete. But when they get the mail delivered and a box of letters comes in, you know, those have to be opened. I mean, the secretary can't just dump them. They don't know there might be money in it. You know, I mean, they have to.
They can only wish,
That's right. They have to open those letters, and it is an overwhelming thing. Listen, I've been in touch with some very powerful people in Washington who have assured me that letters and phone calls turn the heads of congressmen. So people, you know, this sheriff kit is hugely important, making appointments with your congressman, letting them know that this is not going to go away. I'm telling you, let's just say that Steve Stockman just totally drops the ball on this and walks away from it. You know, there are people saying, oh, well, then it'll be over. No. This case does not hinge on Steve Stockman's integrity in this. Steve Stockman has promised us he's going to do something. We're counting on him to do it. But if he doesn't, there is a plan B. This thing is not going to go away. Mike Zullo, Sheriff Arpaio, and a bunch of other people who are involved in this, we're sitting on the top of the crime of the century. It is not going to go away. And people just need to resign themselves to the fact, Ed, that it might even be after, Obama's out of office before this is dealt with. I hope not, but it could be. But the bottom line is, this is not going to go away. A monumental crime has been committed, maybe several crimes, that goes directly to our constitutional republic, and we're going
right.
to make sure that this is dealt with.
Ed, thank you for the call, Ed. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute and move on with the show. Ed, there's one more thing that we can do, Ed, and that is, and I'm going to launch this on my website, is follow up. We're now going to follow up. Ed, you're on the website. I put pictures up on my website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. You can all see the gentleman that just came on the air, Ed Sunderland, with Congress Michael C. Burgess from Texas. Ed's actually in his office one-on-one, face-to-face. Ed, we can follow up with phone calls. We've given the kits, give them a week or two, 3 weeks, call back, say, where's the information? How are you proceeding? Do you need anything more? Call again. Call again till you get an answer. Call till you get a yes or a no. A yes, we're proceeding, which would be great, or a no, we decided not to, and ask why. Take notes. Get back to me. We'll make full reports. We'll put it out on the air and put the information out. The next step, Ed, is besides I told you to get your relatives, friends, everybody, trying to get the sheriff kids out there, but make follow-up phone calls and let everybody know that you're making follow-up phone calls and keep everybody here, at least, Ed, advised of what's going on. That's a true patriot call.
Yes, yes, he sure is. And God bless you, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight.
Do you have any more time, Carl?
Maybe five more minutes. I do have to go. I'm way over time now. But did you have another caller? Or you had another question?
Well, I don't have anybody queued up except my two call screeners in the room. Why don't you tell everybody, Carl, where they can find you, your information. I know you're on 1330 WEBY every Friday. It's Freedom Friday.
Yeah, the easiest way to find out everything about me, the books that I've written, my radio show, the church that I pastor, the P.P. Simmons News and Ministry sites that I'm the founder of, everything is at carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com. And I want to encourage people that are interested in that story of the book, The Rabbi That Found the Messiah, to go ahead and pre-order it on Amazon ASAP and get in line to get your book early. And as I said, the documentary movie is coming right behind it with Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn in the movie with me.
Well, thank you, Carl. I have one more call here before you go. I guess you have five more minutes here. I'm going to put Ann on. Ann's been a follower. She's been with me on the website since almost day one, Carl. And she's actually in the screening room, screening the calls. And Ann, you're on the line with Carl Gallops. Do you have a question?
Hi, Carl.
Hello, Ann.
As you've heard, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. God bless you, Ann.
Thank you. I'm a little under the weather. I got quite a cold going on. But please excuse me if I'm not clear. I am just thrilled about the video Mike found, and I will be posting it and placing it everywhere. I know that WND says that there's breaking news, and they're posting that everywhere. Are you aware of what their breaking news is?
You mean breaking news tonight?
No, they say huge breaking news coming. And
okay.
It's got to do with Sheriff Apayo.
Okay, and WND has that breaking news. Are they running that story tonight or that announcement tonight? I'm sorry,
they put that announcement out. They haven't ran any story. They just said it's coming.
Okay, when did they say that, Ann? When did they say that, Ann?
It's on today. It's on their website today.
Okay, well, I will check.
Carl, the headline on the birthday report says, Team Arpaio at WND, new earth-shattering developments will be soon announced.
Huh, okay, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Well, I've been doing interviews all afternoon, and now it's getting late into the night, so I have not researched that. I'm not familiar with where that's going, but I know that that they work pretty closely with Arpaio and Zulo, so if there's some new information coming out, perhaps WND knows about it.
Okay,
I'm reading this from the Berger Report.
Curious.
It says, is the biggest Obama scandal yet to hit. Major new development eligibility case promised by investigators, WND email.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I do know that there are some major new developments. I'm not at liberty to talk about them, so it could be that Arpaio and Zulo are getting ready to release some of the information that I know about to WND. That would be great. I hope they do.
Well, it's
okay,
not a better day to do it on than tomorrow.
Thanks for the call, Ed. Well, there you have a call. Things are developing as we speak. I know Mike never really stops. He has very little time during the day to do anything else but this.
Well, I hope there's something to that. I've been out of the news loop today because I've been doing interviews all day, so I don't really know what she's talking about. But if WND is getting ready to release some major new information, then it would have to come from Arpaio and Zulo, I would guess. And where did you say that headline?
I got it from birthdayreport.com. It was posted a little while ago.
Okay. Well, I'll investigate it and find out. I'll give Mike Zulo a call and find out what he knows about it. But right now, I don't have any information to give your listeners.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Carl. Carl, I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I had a lot of requests for you. People wanted to ask that question about Steve Stockman, and they always want an update about the investigation. It is moving forward. I know each day something new is uncovered. I know the sheriff kit are really working. We have Mike Zulu's back. Mike could only go a certain distance. He is investigating, but we need to bring this forward. We are the people. We are the ones that elected our government officials to do their job, and we are doing the job for them right now because they can't. Their hands are either tied. But my people, Carl, are out there. They obviously care about this country. They're getting the sheriff's kit. They're sitting down politely with their congressman. They're getting Mike Zulu on conference calls to speak to them. We are doing this one person, one congressman at a time, Paul.
Right. I know. And again, God bless you, Michael, for what you're doing. And thank you again for having me on the show tonight. And yes, as I have information that I am at liberty to share, I would be honored to come on your show and share it with your listeners. And I appreciate all that you and your listeners are doing. God bless you, Michael.
Thank you, Carl. And the chat room is packed tonight. Have a good night, Carl. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, there you have it. That was Carl Gallups from carlgallups.com. Also from WEBY 1330 AM, Freedom Fridays, 4 to 6 Central Time. You could also listen in online on TuneIn Radio. I'm on the road quite a lot, and I listen to Carl on TuneIn Radio. And there you have it with an update. And Carl with the update about the OBOT calling Mike Zulu, and he gave you his opinion. I can only say that they're probably running scared. They probably want to justify something, you know, like a criminal who gets scared. They always want to go to the police and offer another explanation. It's happening. It's happening because we're pushing the sheriff's kits. And everybody that comes into this radio program, I noticed the chat room is full tonight. I appreciate everybody logging in tonight. We had a couple callers ask call information. And Carl was gracious enough to give answers, honest answers. That's it. There's no magic bullet out there right now. It's hard work every single day, each and every day. I'm getting a lot of requests to play that audio clip again. And actually, it's an audio and a video clip from YouTube. And I got White Rabbit saying, why did Carl Gallups get so nervous all of a sudden? I'll tell you why, because Ann asked him a question, and he wasn't aware of it, and I wasn't aware of it. And if you go to Bertha Report, it's it apparently just posted, Timur Payo at WND, New Earth Shattering Develops will be announced soon. I guess Carl wasn't privy to that information. Let's see here. I'm on the Bertha Report right now. It's quoting Mike Zulu. And let's see what the article really, it doesn't say anything. Okay, to the public, it may appear that we dropped off the radar screen, that we went silent, said Zulu. It's true that we did, but we did this out of strategic necessity. We went silent because the investigators needed silence to continue its work. Zulu says that work has progressed to the point that the investigation believes it can prove to any unbiased authority that Obama's birth certificate is fraudulent, which suggests he may not even be constitutionally eligible to serve in the White House. Well, we all knew that. And there you go. I guess Mike must have done an interview on WND. I hope that answers you, Mr. White Rabbit. And there you have it. I spoke to Zulu this morning. He didn't mention anything about it. But there's times that we don't say everything on the telephone for certain reasons that people may be listening in. And Carl, most of the day was busy in a meeting, and I did speak to him this afternoon about coming on the show, and he didn't mention anything about it. So there you have it. I just read it right from the birth report, and that's probably where Ann got the information. Okay, Mr. Rabbit, I hope that clears that up. And it says he's typing. I'm sure he's going to respond to that. And it is what it is. Don't make anything up on this show. And the facts are the facts. And who is Mike Zulu, really? Well, I'll have to click on that video late. I don't know what you're trying to get at there. Perhaps Mona can check out that video and get back to me what it's about. Okay. We had to answer that question. Mr. Rabbit, Mr. White Rabbit, I hope you're listening to this. I know you weren't in the show earlier when I played this audio, and we're all going to listen to it together. And it's a speech when Barack Hussein Obama was campaigning for the office of president in 2007. And I'm going to play the audio, and we're all going to listen to it and see what we get out of it, okay? I've already queued it up, and it's already moving.
Across oceans. So that my grandfather began to imagine something different for his son. And his son, who grew up herding goats in a small village in Africa, could suddenly set his sights a little higher and suddenly believe that maybe a black man in this world had a chance. And what happened in Selma, Alabama and Birmingham also stirred the conscience of the nation. And it worried folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win the hearts and minds all across the world if right here in our own country, John, we're not observing the ideals that are set forth in our Constitution? We might be accused of being hypocrites. So the Kennedys decided we're going to do an airlift. We're going to go out to Africa, and we're going to start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study so that they can learn what a wonderful country America is. And this young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves. But she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on, because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that in the world as it has been, it might not be possible for us to get together and have a child. But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge. And so they got together, and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama.
Okay, he don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama. What I heard, and what everybody else is hearing, is that his parents, I'm going to sum it up, met in Selma, Alabama, during a march, and that's why Barack Obama's here. Okay. Well, the march was March 25th, 1965. Something's not right. Now, we just heard it from Obama. Is he telling us that he was born after 1965 when his parents met? Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, that's Obama. We have to believe him. We just heard him. We just heard him say his parents met in Selma, Alabama. Okay? There's a video, and Mona posted it in the chat room, and I'm going to post it on my website. Now, something's wrong there. Either that birth certificate on the White House website, the one that we're saying is phony, or Obama is lying on the video. Which one is it? Anybody want to comment? Okay, 1965, he's saying that his parents met. I can play the audio clip over and over again. Am I wrong? Did I hear something I didn't hear? Does someone want to help me out here? I see people in the chat room. I'm just trying to figure this out. I'm not trying to be funny or anything. I don't know if a lot of you heard this. This was out there. I knew about it for a while. And let's see what we got in the chat room. I'm going to bring a couple of callers on the line here. Let's see here. Okay, who's typing now? He is lying if he's talking, but I am blue-eyed and blonde-haired, and if he told me just that, I would not believe him. Sorry. Well, yeah, okay. Sherry 54, I knew that years ago. Yeah, okay, Sherry, that's fine. You know what? I did too. It's just that I've been so involved in taking apart that birth certificate, getting the sheriff's kits out, working with Mike Zulu for the past year and a half or so, whenever it may be. And it came to light again when the recent anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech in Washington, D.C. And, okay, Bob, thanks for letting me hop in here. Have another BTR show to go to. I hope to come back here. Okay, Bob, I thank you. Did you get them? Oh, he logged out already. Anyway, it is what it is. I'd like to go back here for 1 minute. I have Ed Sutherland on the line here, and I want to ask him his thoughts on this year. Ed, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Mike.
Did you hear that audio clip? Did that come out clear?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's part and parcel of this entire administration. It's, like I said in the talk, you know, his entire administration is built on a bodyguard of lies, and it reminds me of World War II and what Hitler did. He's got a disinformation pool out there that's just sending disinformation out. They're logging on to blog sites like this one, and they're asking weird, stupid questions, and you know, just trying to disrupt what's going on. But he also said that his dad was in the Army during World War II.
That was his grandfather.
His grandfather? Well, it sounded like it was his dad that he was talking about there. And, you know, that, but he was talking about some benefits or something that he got. From what I understand, that didn't happen.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm corrected. I must have heard it wrong. It sounds distorted on my end from the studio. He did say it's his dad. I'm being corrected by my my faithful call screener, Mona, and he did say it's his dad. But it doesn't make any sense because of the age of his. It might have.
Well, the thing of it is, he's told so many lies. It's hard to differentiate that from the truth, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I started picking up this stuff in 2008 when he was telling speeches. He was making statements and he was saying things that I just go, you know, that's a crock. And nothing's changed. So I think what we've got to do is we've got to pay attention to this and make note of it. I would like to, you know, like I said, I want to put together some flash drives with videos on them. The sheriff's kit, basically, on a small flash drive. What we could do is we could put together a video that actually shows these lies that he's telling, like when he said he was born and what have you, and his parents getting together. I mean, this big lie right here. And
Ed, let's go into it for 1 minute about the Army. What Army would his father have been in?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I remember him saying that his grandfather was a World War II or World War I hero that went into the Army and served in combat. I remember him saying his grandfather, but now he's saying his father. What Army?
Yeah, that's U.S. Army. He was talking to some veterans or some veterans organization or something to do with veterans, and he made this bizarre statement that is, you know, and we know this dad came from Kenya, according to his narrative, which is completely questionable anyway. But he said that his dad had taken part of VA benefits, and he wanted to make sure that everybody, of course, was able to continue doing that.
Ed,
so,
you know, it's confusing. Ed, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. I'm going to go to my expert, my other expert. I'm going to go to Ed in Virginia. Ed in Norfolk, Virginia. He's my expert on Obama audio clips. Ed, did you hear that audio clip I played?
Yes, I did, Mike.
What do you make out of that?
I think it's a big joke, and it's amazing that nobody caught on to that way back in 2007.
We did, and that's why Where's Obama's Birth Certificate.com got started, because it didn't add up. I mean, come on, March 25th, 1965, his parents met on a bridge. I'm not making this up. I mean, there's a video and an audio clip. You know, it's funny, but it's not. It's sad. What
yes,
did you
I
think
know
about that,
that
Army stuff that Ed from Texas was talking about?
What I'm saying is it's amazing that nobody caught that when he made the speech like that. It's such a whopper of a lie, you know.
I can tell you now, Ed, I released it tonight to Ann, and she's making it go viral on Facebook right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That needed to have been out there long, long ago. How long have you known about that?
Well, I said it before. I knew about it in 2005, and that's one of the reasons that we started this site. I remember that we said, wait a minute, the math doesn't add up. And then when that certificate of live birth came out, I'm like, wait a minute, 61, 65, there's a couple of years there. And then Reverend Ayers, and then, Reverend Wright, and Bill Ayers, and Barry Sortoro, Malik Shabazz, he went to Pakistan, he went to Indonesia, it all didn't add up. And that's why we made the website. And I had forgotten about that, actually, until this last August here with Martin Luther King's anniversary coming up. And I said to my wife, wait a minute. There was a speech that he made that he said he was born because his parents met on a bridge in Alabama. Excuse me, Selma, Alabama. You want me to play it again? I'll tell you what. I'm going to play the entire clip. I've been leaving out the first 50 seconds. Bear with me, Ed. I'm going to play it. It's 2 minutes and 43 seconds. Let's start from the very, very beginning. Okay, here we go.
Something happened in Birmingham that sent out what Bobby Kennedy called ripples of hope all around the world. Something happened when a bunch of women decided we're going to walk instead of ride the bus after a long day of doing somebody else's laundry and looking after somebody else's children. When men who had PhDs were working as Pullman porters decided that's enough and we're going to stand up despite the risks for our dignity and our respect, that sent a shout across oceans so that my grandfather began to imagine something different for his son. And his son, who grew up herding goats in a small village in Africa, could suddenly set his sights a little higher and suddenly believe that maybe a black man in this world had a chance. And what happened in Selma, Alabama, and Birmingham also stirred the conscience of the nation. And it worried folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win the hearts and minds all across the world if right here in our own country, John, we're not observing the ideals that are set forth in our Constitution? We might be accused of being hypocrites. So the Kennedys decided we're going to do an airlift. We're going to go out to Africa, and we're going to start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study so that they can learn what a wonderful country America is. And this young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves. But she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that in the world as it has been, it might not be possible for us to get together and have a child. But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge. And so they got together and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama. Don't tell me I'm not coming home when I come to Selma, Alabama. I'm here because somebody marched for our freedom. I'm here because y'all sacrificed for me. I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Okay, there you have it. We played it again. What'd you think, Ed?
I still think it's funny.
I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. It is what it is. It's available on YouTube. It's Obama saying this. Now, either we have Obama lying, or maybe he's mistaken about his date of birth. Well, maybe he should go over to the White House website and change his birth certificate to a different date, because what he said and what's on the White House website doesn't add up.
Yeah. It's so funny the way he sounded in the speech. Oh, my.
It is what
no,
it is.
I know you're not making it up. No.
And I'm going to put you back on hold for 1 minute, and I'll come back to you in a minute. We have another call here. I'm going to wait for Mona.
I was sorry. You let Carl get away. I wasn't finished when I was speaking with Carl, and you allowed him to get away from me there after 2 weeks waiting to speak with him. You know?
I understand that. Well, he did have to go, and I did say that I would only allow one question at a time. He did actually stay on 15 minutes more than he said.
And he never really answered, you know, he went, I kept pushing one, but anyway, he went back into the history of the investigation, which I already know, because I've been following this for 5 years also, longer than he has. He went all back into that. He never really thoroughly answered my question. That's why I wanted to get back to him and try to make my point again and get a better answer, but we got cut away.
Okay.
Go ahead and proceed. I'm listening.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to find out who this caller is waiting online. Caller who just called in, you're on the air.
For what?
Hello? Yes, you. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. My name is Joe Taylor. I'm calling you from Berwick, Louisiana.
Yes, Joe.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to you talking about Mr. Obama's birth date. See, to me, what makes a difference on the birth date that is so crucially important that I just can't see the importance of it? With all my heart and with all my love. The reason I can't is because he was either born here in America or he wasn't. That's cut, dried, and simple to me. And it's, he's either an American citizen or he's not. His mother may have been, his grandpappy may have been, everybody else may have been, but it don't mean he is, unless he has a birth certificate, period. So I just can't see what the great difference is in his date. Thank you.
Joe, I appreciate that and the comments. I'll respond to you. I'll leave you on for a minute if you want to come back to me.
That'd be fine.
What we have here, Joe, I just played an audio clip. Did you hear the clip that I played?
No, sir, I don't have it. I just got tuned in and I heard you all talking.
Joe, I'm going to play the audio clip for you. The audio clip is Obama stating when he was born. I want you to listen to it, and then I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 minute. I'm not hanging up on you, Joe, because I want to
speak
to you. You're a great caller. You're a great speaker. It's good. It's 2 minutes and 43 seconds. Listen to the whole clip, and then I'll pick up you after I get the clip played. Okay, we have Joe. Everybody heard his question. He came in a little late, and I'm going to respond to him, and I'm going to play the clip for Joe, and here we go.
Something happened in Birmingham that sent out what Bobby Kennedy called ripples of hope all around the world. Something happened when a bunch of women decided we're going to walk instead of ride the bus after a long day of doing somebody else's laundry and looking after somebody else's children. When men who had PhDs, were working as Pullman porters, decided that's enough, and we're going to stand up despite the risks for our dignity and our respect, that sent a shout across oceans so that my grandfather began to imagine something different for his son. And his son, who grew up herding goats in a small village in Africa, could suddenly set his sights a little higher and suddenly believe that maybe a black man in this world had a chance. And what happened in Selma, Alabama and Birmingham also stirred the conscience of the nation. And it worried folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win the hearts and minds all across the world if right here in our own country, John, we're not observing the ideals that are set forth in our Constitution? We might be accused of being hypocrites. So the Kennedys decided we're going to do an airlift. We're going to go out to Africa, and we're going to start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study so that they can learn what a wonderful country America is. And this young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves. But she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on, because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that in the world as it has been, it might not be possible for us to get together and have a child. But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge. And so they got together, and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama. Don't tell me I'm not coming home when I come to Selma, Alabama. I'm here because somebody murdered for our freedom. I'm here because y'all sacrificed for me. I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Okay, Joe, did you hear that?
Yes, sir, I heard that.
What you heard was Obama in 2007 campaigning for the office of the President of the United States,
yes,
claiming
sir.
That his parents met in on the march to Selma, Alabama, on a bridge in Selma, Alabama, and that's the reason Obama is here today. Well, what we're questioning tonight, Joe, is Selma, Alabama took place March 25th, 1965, a 56-mile march, 5 days, from Birmingham to Selma. If Obama was born after 1965, then the birth certificate on the White House website, which has been a focal point of our investigation for years and our challenge, is incorrect. Either it's a typographical error, or Mr. Obama is mistaken about his date of birth, where his parents were born. What we think is there's a fraud committed, because he has defended that birth certificate and his true date of birth as 1961, August of 1961. And that's what we're arguing here, Joe. Not whether it's got nothing to do if he was a good president, a bad president. We think there was a crime committed, and that's why we're focusing on that audio clip tonight, Joe.
That's fine. If there's been a crime committed, bust his ass. I don't care what it is. We're not here to allow crimes to happen. And we're not here to have anybody committing crimes. We're here because we are something better than that. We are America. And this is what it consists of. That we're proud of being America. America is too important to each and every person in this wonderful, loving nation I call home. It is too important. I don't care if it's the President of the United States. I don't care if it's some kid down on the street. If he broke the law, bust him. And I mean that. That's the reason we have laws in America. Thank you.
Joe, we appreciate that, and I'm glad that you said it that way, politely. We make no claims on this show. We're not anti-Obama. It's got nothing to do with race. We've been called. Race seems to be the quickest thing to pull out. It's not about race. It's about facts. I just played a clip that most people were not aware about. Whereof, I knew it. I forgot about it. I put it in the back drawer. I pulled it out tonight because I decided, remember, Joe, we had forgotten about it, and I decided to release it tonight as more evidence that Obama, there's something wrong. We just heard, I played it three times, and I'm going to play it more tonight. There's something wrong here, and I'm asking everybody join me, Joe. Do you know that we offer what's called the Sheriff's Kit on my website?
No, I didn't. No, on your website, no. I'm on Facebook also, but I didn't know you had a website on Facebook also.
It's www.wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. If you got here through Facebook, it's listed on Blog Talk Radio. You probably got the link. So that's wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com.
Yes, I've got your link off of Facebook.
Right. Okay. We have a website that's been up since 2007. We've been challenging Obama's birth certificate. We don't know where he was born. We don't make any claims as to where he was born. We are kind of suspicious about who his father is because of facial recognition. We do know that the date listed on his birth certificate does not coincide to what he says he is born, to where he thinks he was born. We do believe, through information from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, Mike Zulu and Sheriff Joe Arpaio, that the birth certificate is a fraud. If you go to my website, Joe, there are five videos from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department that show how the birth certificate is fraudulent. There's also one. Are you familiar with Obama's selective service there?
No, sir. I have not bothered to even check out his background of anything. I just left it be. He is the President of the United States. He's got that respect for me. And that's
I think he
just
has
me.
The respect of the title of President, and that's about as far as it goes right now. Did you know,
well,
Joe, that it's been alleged that he's using a stolen Social Security number?
Yeah, I heard that a dozen times or more. But if it's true or not, that I don't know, or if it's nothing but propaganda going around, whichever, that I don't know. So
Joe,
that's as honest with you as I know to tell you, Matt.
I'm going to give you a website that's been up since early 2009, I believe. It's like reading your daily newspaper. It's birtherreport.com, birtherreport.com, birtherreport.com. It has current information every day. It's updated. My website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com, has the videos available for you to see, Joe. I would take some time out and look at each one of those videos. You'll see Sheriff Joe Arpaio come out, show his investigation, show how the birth certificate is known to be forged, selective service stamp. You'll see all of the people on my website who have gone to their congressman to make a complaint about that. On the birth report, you'll see what's happening day to day with the controversy in the birth certificate.
I understand. Okay, I can do that.
I appreciate that. Joe, any other comments? The show is all yours.
No, sir. No, sir. I just could not figure out what the big issue was over his date of birth. You know, it's like I said, I'm not here to crucify nobody on your show. It's I'm here for the sole fact that he's either right or he's not. I don't care what he is or who he is. That's the issue with me. And the issue is not for me, it's for America. That's why it's so crucially important to me as an individual, because I love America. Not
we all do. We all do here on this website and on the birth report, and that's why it's important to us, Joe. I want to add something. We keep saying president, yes. It's shocking. For me to say that a president is not eligible to be in the office, that may have lied about his date of birth, that may have posted a forged birth certificate, years ago, that was unheard of. I would be labeled a kook. But you know something, Joe? Today, it looks like it's the truth. And that's why it's shocking to so many people. They can't fathom that this is a cover-up. And it is. It's a crime. And that's all we do, Joe, here, is report the facts and let people figure out what the truth is.
That's right. I agree with that. You know, I'm not here to crucify nobody, like I said, but the thing of it is, if he broke the law, then it's simple. He needs to go to jail. He's no better than nobody else if it comes to breaking the law. And it makes no difference to me if he's a president or if he's not. The thing of it is like, it just makes no difference. It's the biggest issue that I'm getting at here, because we're all Americans and we all abide by the law, including the President of the United States, if he likes it or not. That's exactly the way I feel about that in my heart. And I will fight you tooth and nail over that, that each and every American here is America. And it's for America, of America, with America. That's why the laws were set down for each and every American on the face of the earth, sir. I believe that with all my heart and with all my love to each and every one of them, to each and every person in America. Thank you, Joe.
Joe, I have a chat room open here. I have a chat room that goes along with my radio show. And someone just typed in here, Flycatch, he said, Obama can't be challenged because of his skin color. He took the words right out of my mouth, because my next sentence was going to be, Joe, one of the biggest problems we have is nobody wants to hear the truth. As soon as we bring up this subject and try to present the evidence, most people's response is, you hate him because he's black. You're a racist. Well, I'm insulted.
Well,
I don't accept that.
Well, to me, sir, that's simple. I don't hate anybody for their color. That's very, very simple to me. I don't care if you're black, green, blue, purple, or white, or orange. It just doesn't make no difference. It's you as a human being, and it's you if you call yourself an American. It's whatever you choose or whatever you are. The color of your skin makes no difference to me at all for any given reason. The most important thing to me is our great love for this great, wonderful nation I call home. Thank you.
No, Joe. Thank you, and I appreciate it. And once again, like I said, our biggest obstacle is we're called racist. We never get a response. We never get to present our case or any of the evidence as far as what we have. It's just a quick, easy fix. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got nothing to do with him being black. It's got to do with fraudulent documents and his birth certificate. And now, as you and I, Joe, and everybody else on the program tonight heard himself, Obama, contradicting his date of birth. And I will play that again, Joe. Joe, would you mind holding on for 1 minute? I want to play that audio clip one more time, because I've had several people join the show since I played it, Joe. And I will come right back to you, Joe.
That'll be fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to play the clip again, the entire clip once again, so there's no mistake. And Flycatch, are you listening, Flycatch? Here we go.
Something happened in Birmingham that sent out what Bobby Kennedy called ripples of hope all around the world. Something happened when a bunch of women decided we're going to walk instead of ride the bus after a long day of doing somebody else's laundry and looking after somebody else's children. When men who had PhDs were working as Pullman porters decided that's enough and we're going to stand up despite the risks for our dignity and our respect, that sent a shout across oceans, so that my grandfather began to imagine something different for his son. And his son, who grew up herding goats in a small village in Africa, could suddenly set his sights a little higher and suddenly believe that maybe a black man in this world had a chance. And what happened in Selma, Alabama, and Birmingham also stirred the conscience of the nation. And it worried folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win the hearts and minds all across the world if right here in our own country, John, we're not observing the ideals that are set forth in our Constitution? We might be accused of being hypocrites. So the Kennedys decided we're going to do an airlift. We're going to go out to Africa, and we're going to start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study so that they can learn what a wonderful country America is. And this young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves, but she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on, because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that in the world as it has been, it might not be possible for us to get together and have a child. But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge. And so they got together, and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama. Don't tell me I'm not coming home when I come to Selma, Alabama. I'm here because somebody marched for our freedom. I'm here because y'all sacrificed for me. I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Okay, there we have it again. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't know what to say. Selma, Alabama. The march from Birmingham to Selma, March 25th, 1965, 56 miles, took 5 days. There we have Barack Hussein Obama stating that his parents met in Selma, Alabama, and that's the reason that Barack Hussein Obama is alive today. I don't know how else to interpret that. It's coming right from Barack Hussein Obama's voice, his mouth. That's it. Do we have another typographical error here? Do we have another misrepresentation? Oh, maybe he misspoke. Maybe he misspoke again. Well, maybe his press secretary can fix the problem. I don't know. Maybe Hillary Clinton can fix the problem. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. We have a birth certificate on the White House website saying August 1961. We've been challenging it for years. We've been called puppets. We've been called racist. We've been called Obama haters. We've been called not unpatriotic. We've been called everything, everything except the truth. Now we have Barack Hussein Obama telling us he was born after March 25th, 1965. What do we have here? What's going on here? Where's the truth? When are we going to get to the truth? When is our Congress going to step in and give the truth out? This is now going to be a part of my kit, my sheriff's kit. I'm going to now include that in my sheriff's kit. It's not me. I've been called everything over these years on my website, insulted, told where to go. No, it's the truth. And that's what the truth is. I'm sorry. It's not, like, once again, it's not about race. It's not about Obama. I don't care about Obama. He's the president. Joe just said we have to have respect for the president. And I've said that before on my show, that I have respect. I've always had respect for the office of the president. But now we have a problem. We have a forged birth certificate, forged documents. Him telling us about being born because his parents met in Selma, Alabama. And now we have a contradiction on the White House website. We always knew that that document was forged. I state my case. I thank everybody for listening tonight, and I'm going to move on with the show. I'm going to go back to Joe. Joe's been one of the best call-ups that we've had calling in this show in a long time. Joe, you're back on the air, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he's got forged documents, throw his tail end out. I don't care who he is, and I don't care what he is. If you took an office and you were illegally in there, It's past time we threw your tail end out. And I mean that. I don't care how many wars you want to fight and how many you did or you didn't. I'm telling you, if you're in an office with forged documents, throw your butt out. Under no circumstances will I tolerate that for any given reason on the face of the earth. That's where the president of our United States of America lives. And that's what he does. He goes up there openly, truthfully, and honestly. And if he can't do that, then get your butt out. We'll find somebody else. Welcome to America. Thank you.
Joe, strong words. No, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Joe, we have a couple of people on hold here. I can bring them in and out of the conversation. I'd like to go back to Eddie from Virginia. Eddie from Virginia, and I'd like to get his comments. Eddie, did you hear what Joe just had to say?
Yes, I did.
And what did you think about it, Eddie?
Well, of course, I'm in agreement with him. Well, you know, it seemed like Joe, a few minutes ago, wasn't aware of the forged IDs. And I know you told him where to go to get the info, and I don't know whether he went there or not. He probably had to have time to go there, but I really don't know. He's correct, of course. Naturally. What else, Mike? Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah. As I say, of course he's correct, and he probably hasn't had time to go review where you informed him to go get the evidence and see the evidence of the forged IDs. He says he heard about the stolen Social Security number some time back, but he didn't know if it was rumor or what. Well, it's not rumor, and there are places to go to get information on that too. Unfortunately, where he goes to get the information on the forged birth certificate and the forged Selective Service Registration card from Sheriff Joe Arpaio's press conferences and Mike Zulu's conferences, he's not going to hear anything about the stolen Social Security number there. The place to really go for that, I would say, would be to Orly Tate's website. She pushes the stolen Social Security number big. It's OrlyTatesEsquire.com, OrlyTatesEsquire.com. And she's big on the stolen Social Security number. In fact, she was one of the first ones that, I believe, it to bring it up, you know, big time.
Well, Ed, thank you for that. Joe, what Ed's trying to say is there's a lot of information right now. There's a lot of other things about Barack Hussein Obama that don't make sense. Stolen Social Security number, his background, his former ID, Barry Sortoro, living in Indonesia, the people that he associated with. It just all doesn't add up. It doesn't, especially the forged birth certificate on the White House website. Joe, please hold on for a minute. I have another caller here. I want to get her opinion on the audio I just played. And with that, I'd like to go to Cheryl from Texas.
Howdy, how are you doing?
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you doing? It's good to be on tonight.
Well, thank you very much. If you don't know who Cheryl is, it's Cheryl Serber. There's a picture of her on my website giving information to former Senator Jindamin and Senator Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz. Cheryl, did you hear the audio I just played?
I did, and I'd heard you talking about that before. And when did he actually say those words?
I don't have the exact date. It's 2007. I can get you the exact date.
Okay. Well, and I just wonder. I thought it was a long time ago, and I as opposed to recently, I thought I'd heard that a long time ago. But I think it's rather telling. Also, I think it's rather telling the way he the tone of his voice. He doesn't speak like that normally, but for some reason he was apparently trying to patronize an audience. I think it's pretty insulting,
yes.
Really.
I have to agree.
One of the things, by the way, that I have been asking people in the last day or so is I am asking for anyone to tell me, explain to me what a fraudulent selective service registration and or a fraudulent certificate of live birth have to do with the color of somebody's skin. And I haven't
Nothing.
Found anybody
it's
yet
a,
that,
it's just a defensive
come
mechanism.
Up with
anything. It makes no sense. Cheryl, the date
exactly.
of that video was March 5th, 2007. March 5th,
okay.
2007 is the day that he spoke those words.
Okay. There, it's obvious that that's a fraud as well, and it's just pretty sad. And I think it's I can't think of the terminology right now, but it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, where the Congress every one of those people in Congress, except for those three people, Congressman Stockman, Steve Stockman from Texas, Ted Yoho from Florida, and Lou Barletta from Pennsylvania, who have actually come forward and said, that they're, they have seen it and they're interested in doing something about it, or apparently are. But as far as the other members of Congress, particularly the ones that have been there for any length of time at all, I think that their attitude was that they did not want, and I think it still is, that they don't want to stir anything up because they don't want to have race riots. Well, to me, that is insulting as well. The idea that they are assuming that blacks are going to come out and start rioting when they find out that this person who is occupying the White House got their pure D by fraud, by selective service registration fraud, and that hit home with just about everybody I talked to. I mean, it's mail fraud. You take that selective service registration to any post office and talk to any postal worker, and they will tell you it is absolutely, positively a fraud. And if you take that certificate of live birth, and you take it to anybody that is, late 50s or older, and if they think about it, think back about the time when they were going through the 60s, and they recall the terminology that was used, the federal government's own terminology of what was used contemporaneously to describe someone who was black, that was the terminology that was used for someone that was black. If you filled out a federal form, the terminology was Negro. There is not a copier in the world. There's not a computer in the world. There's no software in the world, whether it's a Xerox copier or any other kind of copier or any kind of software. There's none in the world that can change the word Negro to African, period.
Hey, Cheryl,
anybody that's old
Cheryl,
enough to know what it was knows that.
Hold on to that thought for 1 minute. Joe, are you still there, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Joe, what Cheryl was referring to, besides the birth certificate being forged, and we show how it was computer-generated, on Barack Hussein Obama's birth certificate, from 1961, it lists the race of his father as African. That wasn't the case back in 61. It was colored, black, or Negro. There was no African-American back then. The term was not used. And that's what she was referring to. not what the birth certificate says. Once again, it says African. It does not say black, colored, or Negro. That's not a race. Africa is not a race. That's a continent. And that's what Cheryl was just referring to. Joe, she can go on and on all night long. I can go on and on all night long. We just touched a few of the things that we've uncovered over the years. If you go to birththereport.com, if you go to my website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com, study it a little bit. When you're ready, Joe, you hit the contact me form on top, and you'll send me an email. I'll respond. I'll answer all questions. You're always invited to come on the show and give comments. You're a great caller. You just heard what Cheryl had to say about it. Joe, it's a no-brainer.
You know, another thing that is a really good source of information is to go to debbieschlussel.com. That's D-E-B-B-I-E. S as in sunshine, C-H-L-U-S-S for sunshine, EL.com/4428. And Debbie Schlussel is the one who actually came up with the, she obtained the Selective Service Registration back in 2008. And as I recall correctly, she had tried to get it prior to that, but they delayed. But anyway, she finally got it, and she's the one who discovered that it has a fraudulent postmark, a never-used two-digit year postmark. And, it's just obvious on its face as the fraud. And, in fact, if you go look at her site, it's a very good site to look at because it shows the serial number at the top right-hand corner of the document being different from the screen print serial number, and they should match, and they don't.
Well, then it's time to take that garbage in and have it documented in a proper manner and have it taken care of in a proper manner. Now, if there's nobody that wants to do it, we'll get it done one way or another.
Well,
we've got enough people in Washington to get it done now, folks. I'm trying to tell you something here as honestly as I know how, and that these men and women up there, what the problem is with this, I have no idea. But he's in there fraudulently. He's going to leave. And I mean that with all my heart.
Let me ask you something real quickly. Do you recall the movie Catch Me If You Can? Did you ever see that movie?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay. The person that was involved, his name was Frank Abagnale Jr., and he pretended to be and made himself out to be a licensed airline pilot, a licensed attorney, and a licensed doctor. Now, my question for you is, if someone were to try to take away his license on any one of those three aspects, could anyone take away his pilot's license?
No, ma'am. They couldn't do
exactly.
That, truthfully.
Because he didn't have
but
one.
But the truth of it is...
Because he didn't have one.
Ma'am, you
That's
can't
exactly
take something
right,
away
didn't
you didn't
one.
Have to start with.
That's right, exactly. And the same thing with all the other licenses, the other two licenses.
Right,
when you don't
understand
have one,
that.
You can't have it taken away. Well, by the same token, if someone is constitutionally ineligible to have a position, to occupy an office, then they cannot be, in my opinion, you cannot impeach someone, whether it was Obama or somebody else, you could not impeach them for actions taken as the person in that office because they cannot hold that office. And instead you would have to annul, in my opinion, annul the Electoral College vote. I was an elector, by the way, in 2004. You would have to annul the Electoral College vote or abrogate it. And the thing is that it's the House that confirms it. And they confirm something that they should never have confirmed. And people were making a big stink about some about Obama, actually a lot of them about McCain. And in reality, in my opinion, neither one of them are eligible to be a president because McCain was born in Colon, Panama, which if you go look at the Panama Canal Treaty and go look at, I think it was Article 2, if I'm not mistaken, it specifically states that the cities of Colon and Panama City are specifically excluded from the Panama Canal Zone. So they were not part of U.S. territory. And, of course, on the other hand, the fact that McCain's parents would not have been there but for the fact that the father was in the military, but still, the fact of the matter is, he was born on foreign territory and foreign land. And so in my book, he was not eligible to be president either. And so one of the reasons I think that the Republican Party has kept their mouth shut is because their own candidate was not eligible. Now, there's also something called a consent decree that the Republican Party, in my opinion, stupidly fell for back in 1982. You can go look it up, 1982 Consent Decree, RNC. And basically what they did is they agreed that they will never challenge voter fraud in a predominantly minority district. And so they basically tied their hands behind their backs and allowed voter fraud to go rampant because they can't challenge it. They're legally prohibited from doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very, very stupid, stupid error on the part of the Republican Party. Now, I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. Had I known about it, I would have really suggested they not do that because it is, they weren't thinking ahead. And in my opinion, like I say, when you have someone that is not constitutionally eligible to hold a position, they aren't holding it. And so you cannot impeach somebody for that. They also cannot resign from a position that they can't hold. And so they have to be arrested and prosecuted.
That's very true. That's very, very true what you said. Yes.
Thank you for your comment,
I
Joe.
Have.
Hold off a minute. Go ahead, Joe.
It's very, very true what you said, young lady, that I've got certain books that I've been reading on it to a small extent, but that is correct. But the thing of it is, if he is president of the United States and he wishes to do whatever he does, that we can bring up charges through Congress. And that's very simply done. It's not that complicated. With all my heart,
Joe.
Yes, sir.
I have to argue that one, Joe. It's been a battle. If you go to wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com and the birth report, it's puzzling. We've brought this to Congress. I brought it to two congressmen's attention. Mike Zulu from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, who's running the investigation, has brought it to a number of congressmen's attention. Cheryl has brought it to people's attention. I have another person, Ed, on hold, who's brought it to his congressman's attention. There are a number of other people, and it's just not happening. We cannot figure out why, Joe. There's been speculation, race riots, I don't want to get involved, he's almost out of office. Before the last election, Joe, it was, don't worry, the election, we'll fix that. He won't get reelected. We can't figure it out, Joe. If you can tell me the secret, let me know, Joe. We cannot figure it out.
Okay. Okay, give me a couple, 3 days. I'll call you back. How's that?
You got it, Joe. You can send me an email. The show
as soon as I get a chance.
Days.
I'm so tied up on the computer and with everything else I'm doing, I'm lucky if I got time to get to the store. And that's mine.
Okay, Joe. I appreciate
to be
it.
Honest with you. But, with staying on the computer most of the day and everything else, I'm busy enough. With all my heart and with all my love to each and every one of you. But, no. Right now, I don't know when I'll get to it for sure. Maybe within the next 3 or 4 days, to be honest with you. But that's about as honest as I can get right now with you.
Well,
so
that's all we have.
I'll be,
all we
I'll
do
be glad
show,
to send you whatever information I get on it, sir.
Well, we appreciate it. It's wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com, Joe, and you
yes.
can also go to birthreport.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've got
Joe,
them both written
you.
Down. Thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
Thank
Joe,
you for your wonderful phone call,
Joe.
Sir.
You're welcome, Joe. Thank you for calling in. Anytime, Joe. Anytime.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. And God bless each and every one of you. But most of
would
all,
you like
America.
To, would you like
may
to
God
to the
bless
the
America.
Would you like to put you on hold? Yes, God bless America. Joe, I'm going to put you on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show. And I think Joe hung up. Okay. I'd like to move on here and I'd like to give a couple of credits. First of all, we have Ann out there. She's working in the chat room. Thank you, Ann. And I have Mona, and she's working in the chat room and screening the calls, and she actually did her own show all by herself. Yay! Yes. She did. She did a great job. She interviewed Ed Sutherland, who's standing by. He's on hold right now. And I want to thank Mona for that. She really did. She's always in the background. She's always doing something. And she hooked up the audio today, the Selma, Alabama audio clip, which I'm going to play one more time. And I'm going to start wrapping the show up in a couple of minutes. I want to bring Ed Sunderland back on the line for 1 minute. And, Ed, are you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm still here, Mike. Thanks.
Did you hear Joe?
Yeah, I sure did. And, see, you know, it sounds interesting, and I don't know how much he knows about this whole situation. I will say that folks like us, there are people out there that have been listening to this entire process from 2008. I started in the summer of, I guess it was 2008. I'd heard Barack Obama make a speech, and I was just, that instant I knew something was wrong with this character, and I started looking into him and studying him, and the Social Security number, for example, it's not number, it's numbers. There are numerous Social Security numbers this cat's been scattering out all, and addresses he's had across the nation. There's all kinds of information that people are just forgotten that's bad on Barack Obama that just hasn't been turned up again. I mean, this thing here is one, but I know that Tate's and Berg pulled up a lot of stuff before Barack Obama got into office, and they were able to basically ignore the lawsuits that they had. And also in like February of 2009, Barack Obama, in answer to a court challenge, said that he was a naturalized citizen. And that is what prompted me to go ahead and file charges against the DNC chair, because he said he was naturalized. Well, you got to be natural born to be president of the United States according to the Constitution. He said he was naturalized. Well, there's a huge difference between the two. And
yes.
And it's absolutely dumbfounding to me that you mention that to a congressman or somebody that you're talking to, and it goes right by them like a, I don't know, a hot potato. They don't even want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to discuss it. It just blows me away. I can't figure that out. But those of us that have been paying attention, we know what's going on.
Thank you for being part of the program. Thank you for going to your congressman. Your picture is now up on wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com.
I saw that. Thanks.
You are welcome. Ed, I want to play that audio clip one more time and start wrapping the show up. Ed, so bear with me for a minute. Okay, we are going to play the audio clip one last time to be absolutely crystal clear. If it's coming out low or loud, let me know. It sounds funny on my end in the studio because I'm connected. Okay, here we go. This is
something happened in Birmingham that sent out what Bobby Kennedy called ripples of hope all around the world. Something happened when a bunch of women decided we're going to walk instead of ride the bus. After a long day of doing somebody else's laundry, looking after somebody else's children. When men who had PhDs were working as Pullman porters decided that's enough, and we're going to stand up despite the risks for our dignity and our respect, that sent a shout across oceans. So that my grandfather began to imagine something different for his son. And his son, who grew up herding goats in a small village in Africa, could suddenly set his sights a little higher and suddenly believe that maybe a black man in this world had a chance. And what happened in Selma, Alabama, and Birmingham also stirred the conscience of the nation. And it worried folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win the hearts and minds all across the world if right here in our own country, John, we're not observing the ideals that are set forth in our Constitution? We might be accused of being hypocrites. So the Kennedys decided we're going to do an airlift. We're going to go out to Africa, and we're going to start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study, so that they can learn what a wonderful country America is. And this young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. And he met this woman whose great-great-great-great-grandfather had owned slaves, but she had a different idea. There's some good craziness going on, because they looked at each other and they decided, we know that In the world as it has been, it might not be possible for us to get together and have a child. But something's stirring across the country because of what happened in Selma, Alabama, because some folks are willing to march across a bridge. And so they got together, and Barack Obama Jr. was born. So don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama. Don't tell me I'm not coming home when I come to Selma, Alabama. I'm here because somebody marched for our freedom. I'm here because y'all sacrificed for me. I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Well, there we have it again.
In Birmingham that sent out what Bobby Kennedy called
Ripples
of Hope.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I clicked on it again. Okay. You heard Ripples of Hope. He's referring to a speech that Robert Kennedy made. Ripples of Hope was made in 1966. Here we go again with another incorrect. Well, wait a minute. Ripples of Hope. Maybe he was born in 67. I don't know. You all heard it. I'm just as confused as everybody else. I don't know what to say. I'm going to start wrapping up the show because we only have a few minutes left. I'm going to go to Ed Sutherland in Texas. Ed, you have 1 minute for a quick wrap-up, Ed. Go ahead.
Well, listen, Mike, I just want to say that I appreciate the work that you've been doing. Believe me, I know how hard it is when you're out there trying to earn a living yourself and
yes,
trying to do something on this front as well. I mean, when I was talking to my congressman, I said, you know, most people aren't aware of what's going on here. They're taking care of their kids, the dog, the lawn, fighting traffic, going back and forth to work. They don't hear this stuff. They don't hear it. And the only way that anything can be done is when people like me, who have the will and the time to talk to you and try to get something rolling. And so far, it's been a hard slog. I mean, it's hard. You know, the day that I did the interview, I put in like 10 hours. And I work for myself. I don't I'm not guaranteed a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. I'm just get paid for what I do when I finish something. And adding this into the mix, it requires some careful planning. And some will, for sure. But as far as I'm concerned, I truly believe it's going to be worth it in the end. I think we can get something done here.
Great. Ed, thank you very much. I'll be in touch with you. Thank you very much, Ed. Cheryl, you have 1 minute for a quick wrap-up. We have 4 minutes left in the show.
Okay. Well, incidentally, while you all were talking, I was just looking up Selma, Alabama, and I looked up Malcolm X, and lo and behold, guess who spoke there? Malcolm X spoke there. Thought that was kind of interesting.
At the same time.
Anyway. Yeah, no, he was the featured speaker there, it looks like. But anyway, and, you know, it's amazing how much Obama, or whatever his name is, looks like Malcolm X. We don't know if there's any relation or not, but sure looks a lot like him. But anyway, and the fact that he was at Selma, Alabama, then maybe, you know, they could have gotten together. But anyway, I think the program was great tonight. I'm glad that people are starting to wake up. And the question is that you need to ask yourself is, how does this make you feel when you realize you've been defrauded, that that certificate of live birth, the only thing that this man has ever proffered is absolutely, positively, and 100% irrefutable fraud, not by me, not by you, Mike, not by just any old Joe, but by a former Obama voter, and who is a court-certified forensic document expert from Obama's own law firm. How does that make you feel?
Okay,
I think
you're
a lot
right.
of people,
absolutely
when they wake
right.
up, they're waking up.
Cheryl, so, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Eddie in Norfolk, Virginia. Eddie, you have 30 seconds. What are your thoughts, Ed?
Yes, I think, Mike, and everybody, something that doesn't get stressed at all, or probably not nearly enough anyway, is the fact that it's not this word African on the forged birth certificate, but it's the fact that no hospital in the United States will claim that Obama was born in them. I think that's a fact that has to be stressed, and the only hospital... He claims Kapi'olani Hospital in Hawaii, but Kapi'olani Hospital will not confirm his birth. So, no, you have this great icon. I mean, the first black, so-called first black president of the United States, or alleged president of the United States, and no hospital in the entire United States will claim his birth and put up a plaque or a marker or a statue or any
That's
kind
true.
Of symbol that he was born there or admit that he was born in them. I think
okay,
that
Eddie,
needs to be stressed more.
Thank you very much, Ed. Thank you for your comments. Okay, I have everybody in the chat room asking about downloading the kit. I have it available. If you don't know how to download it from the site, hit the contact me form on wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. I have a Dropbox account. I can send you through Dropbox. The videos are too large to send through email like Yahoo, Google, and all of that. So, I have a Dropbox account. Hit the contact me form on the website. Send me your email address, your phone number. I'll call you. I'll tell you how to do it. I'll send it to you if you can. I'll mail it to you. Okay, everybody in the chat room, hit the contact me form in the website. I'll get back to you. Where's Obama's best? Thanks, Sherry. I got it. Contact me form. I'll open up my email tonight, and I'll tell you how to load it. I have a Dropbox account with all the files in there. And if you can't do that, I will mail. I mailed out 3 yesterday and 1 today. So I'm on top of it. Okay, Jim, you got the message. You got it. Okay, I'm going to wrap up the show. We all heard what I heard. We heard that guy Joe call in before. He gave his opinion. I agree with him. I'm a little surprised that he didn't know more, even though he got the show through Facebook. It's just amazing to this day, and that's why we're on top of this. We're trying to educate people, I guess you can say. Okay, I want to thank everybody for being part of the show. This is Mike from wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. Thank you, Ann. I love you. Thank you, Mona, for being back there. Thanks, Ed in Texas, Ed in Virginia, everybody else listening. I appreciate it. It's Mike at wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com if you want to get a hold of me directly, or go to wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. If you need the kits and you can't download it from the site, it can be tricky. You can download the affidavit. I know that's pretty easy to do. Hit the contact me form. I will send you the kit, mail it to you. I'll walk you through how to download it. look at the pictures on the site. Look at everybody that's going to their congressman. I can try to arrange to have Mike Zulu on the conference call. Okay, everybody, I want to say good night. And with that, I'm going to play some closing music. Thanks again, everybody, for being patriotic and listening to this broadcast tonight. Have a good night.
Build that. Somebody else made that happen.